From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. So, you may not believe it, but it is almost time for the Oscars again. Holy cow, where did 2022 go? Well, Oscar nominations are almost here, and we wanted to find out just how these nominees are chosen. Plus, Avatar 2 continues to dominate the box office, so we wanted to find out what else was going on with its director, James Cameron. Well, who better to tell us about all of this? That would be our resident movie critic and our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. George, good to have you on the show.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but can you explain how someone gets nominated for an Oscar? Because there's a process to this.
It is, and it's it will make your head hurt if you try to explain it more than once. So first off, I should note that the president of the Academy sent out a message this week saying that in the history of the Oscars, they have never had so much participation in the nominating process. Simply put, more members have sent in nominations. So the final nominations will be announced on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. There are 17 branches in the Academy. So for nominations, actors only nominate actors. Directors nominate directors, editors, and so forth. Everyone in the Academy, though, can nominate Best Picture. And this is how they come by the Best Picture nominees. Members of the Academy must pick no less than 5 and up to 10 nominees, but they must rank them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In other words, this is my favorite, this is my second favorite, etc. Okay? So Pricewaterhouse takes all the total number of nominations, okay? And they divide it by the number of nominees in a category. So there are 10 nominations in the Best Picture, okay? So let's assume that all 9,579 eligible members of the Academy have sent in their nominations, okay? So you take the 10 nominations, you add 1, so you've got 11. So 9,579 divided by 11. So the magic number here is 870. If one nominee gets 870, the magic number, they're automatically in. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the magic number. So if not, the picture with the fewest first place votes is taken out. And they take all those nominations and then they redistribute them to that to the second choices in that batch, okay? So they send those in all the other piles. And they keep doing this, and they keep taking the lowest one down until somebody hits that magic number, until you get 10, in this case, 10 nominees for Best Picture that will hit that magic number. It's crazy.
Wow.
You would think that the top 10 vote-getters, right? You should just have everyone just choose one, and then they just pick the top 10, right? No.
Or George, you would think that whoever gets the most votes wins.
Exactly. But because of this ranked system, this is how it works. So that is how some crazy nominees make the final list. It's because they were the second and sometimes the third and even the fourth choice of a lot of voting members because their first choice didn't have a chance. I know that's crazy, but that is how they choose them. We will hear all the nominations next Tuesday.
So, George, is that why sometimes then when a picture wins Best Picture, you kind of scratch your head?
Isn't that the truth? Right.
They want.
I mean, how is it possible, for instance, that Shakespeare in Love is a better picture than Saving Private Ryan? I mean, how is it possible that Rocky was better than Network that year?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or All the President's Men was another nominee that same year. How is it possible that Rocky was the best picture? But that's kind of how that happens.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about this second Avatar movie, because as of this morning, this movie, George, it's made $1.9 billion. That's with a B, worldwide.
Yeah, and there's very few pictures that have hit that 2 billion mark.
Yeah. So director James Cameron has said he'll be making more sequels to this movie. I mean, no kidding, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you've got some info for us on one of Cameron's earlier films.
Which is actually one of those $2 billion films, and that was Titanic.
Right.
So James Cameron, I think it's fair to say that he's got a healthy ego. And
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember when he won the Oscar for Titanic and he was starting to talk about all the people who died in the ship, and then he puts his hands up and he says, "I'm the king of the world." And
I remember.
And everyone looked at us like, dude, read the room. Anyway.
He's not my favorite.
So James Cameron loves to make documentaries about James Cameron. So in Titanic, there has been, I think, a fairly healthy conversation over the years about one of the final scenes in Titanic, and that is when Jack and Rose are on that small piece of debris right out in the Atlantic,
right.
and people say, well, why doesn't he just get on, you know, that part of the ship with her, and he could have survived, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
So let's take you back to that moment when Jack is just barely hanging on, and Rose is like, "Oh yeah, I'll hang on. I'll never forget you."
"You must promise me that you'll survive and never let go of that promise."
"I will never let go, Jack."
So James Cameron has decided to make a full documentary recreating that scene with scientists. So mm-hmm. with the help of National Geographic, Cameron is conducting a scientific study to debunk the theory that Leo DiCaprio or Jack could have fit on that floating piece of ship debris. So they actually got stunt doubles with body types similar to Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio. And they simulate what Jack and Rose endured in the freezing North Atlantic. They lowered the temperature in the tank to freezing water. Why? It's like, this is crazy. They actually mm-hmm. had the stunt double say the same lines to recreate this to see if it was possible if Jack could have survived. It is all part of a brand new documentary from National Geographic. Let's take a listen.
"So now let's do the real test. Let's put them through a simulation of all of the things that Jack and Rose went through. So we did exactly what they did in the movie.
And that's the cold shock. That accelerates the heart rate, constricts blood vessels, so your blood pressure goes up immediately.
And the guy pushes her under. 1,000, 2,000, back up. 1,000, 2,000, and Jack, save me!
Jack!
Rose! Jack slings over.
Jack!
And 1,000, 2,000.
This is the definition of insanity.
It really, so, I mean, George.
So anyway, uber super fans of Titanic, and yes, there are plenty of them, will probably gravitate to this. I have to tell you that I did watch it. It was fascinating to see scientists actually try to recreate what happened to not the actors, but what happened to the real people who did not survive Titanic. So this will be on National Geographic February 5th and will also be on Disney Plus. So if you're a fan of Titanic, you'll want to see Titanic 25 years later with James Cameron, where he recreates the controversial scene.
Why can't he just come out and say, "It's a movie. We take creative license. This is how we wanted the movie to be."
Because somebody said, and how much can we pay you, James Cameron?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay. Let's talk superheroes, George, because You, what's this new spin you have on this genre of movies?
So one of my favorite films from last year, the animated film, was Seeing Red, fabulous mm-hmm. animated feature about growing up, the curse of growing up,
yes.
Right to the awkwardness of being a teenager. And that's what I thought about when I saw the episodes of a new series. It's called Extraordinary, and it's a spin on superpowers. So get this, in this universe, everyone develops a superpower on their 18th birthday, right?
Oh.
Now, some people can fly. Some people have laser vision. But, so, you know, some superpowers are, like, for instance, one person's superpower is they can plug in a flash drive the right way every time. So it's not that, you know, right? It's not that. Anyway, everyone except for Jen. Jen is turning 25, and she still hasn't gotten her superpowers. So like a caterpillar surrounded by butterflies, she's unable to move forward, and she's stuck in a dead-end job. But if you think about the hidden meaning here, it is about the awkwardness of how come everyone else is beautiful, powerful, right, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I think any parent can relate to this, and I think quite a few kids can relate to this. So let's listen to a few seconds from Extraordinary.
I see you haven't got your power down on here.
That's because I don't have one yet.
You were such a brave little soldier.
Carrie, I haven't got a power yet. I'm not, like, terminal.
Maybe the real power is just being yourself.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
No.
Right. Can't you just hear a parent saying, you know, maybe your superpower is just being yourself? No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Obviously.
Oh, because I have a 14-year-old. He's never said that to me.
And I think I mean, this is something that you can actually watch with your 14-year-old. It is called Extraordinary. You heard the British accents. It's a British production. Uh-huh. It's from the producers of Killing Eve, which was such a breakout hit, kind of a black comedy. So Extraordinary, all episodes will drop on January 25th, next week, on Hulu. And again, it is called Extraordinary. And it's fresh, it's innovative, but it's about, you know, being young and finding your feet in a confusing world when all you ever are is just ordinary.
Right. Right. I have to say that is just that line just sticks in. That is the stupidest thing I've
right,
ever heard.
Right.
Oh, I hear that almost every day. Okay. I love a good documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You have news of another one. So don't keep us in suspense on this, George, because it has to do with music.
It does, and it's about the amazing Roberta Flack. Now I realize that a couple of younger generations may not know who Roberta Flack is or how amazing she was. But if you think of it, she's one of the few artists who won back-to-back Grammys for the best song when she did The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face and then Killing Me Softly back-to-back. So this is on American Masters on public television coming up next week. It's a fantastic documentary. It is about her career, her commitment to civil rights, and it includes the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Yoko Ono, Angela Davis, and Clint Eastwood, who talks about the story of how he came upon The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face and how it had to be in his movie, Play Misty, for me. Let's listen.
The story is that he was driving down the Los Angeles freeway and heard the song.
The first time ever I saw your face.
He said the song just totally hypnotized him. And he found himself driving off the side of the freeway.
I heard the Roberta Flack song on the radio coming to work one day, and I said, oh yeah, this tells the story.
And I get a phone call one morning. Clint Eastwood's on the phone. He said, I just finished directing my first film. It's called Play Misty for Me. And he said, I want to use that song in the montage that the whole movie builds to. So I said, knock yourself out, Jack. He said, but I only have $1,000. I said, you can have it for 1,000 cents.
It's a great story, a true story. And of course, the song just took off from that film. Wow. And it pretty much began Clint Eastwood's directing career as well. So this documentary is American Masters, Roberta Flack. It will premiere nationwide next Tuesday, January 24th on Idaho Public Television. It is fantastic.
Well, George, as always, such a pleasure to have you with us. And thanks for all of the good recommendations.
Thanks so much, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.